Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the simplicity of Jesus. And the thing that's interesting is that this is a big old book, right? I mean, this is a really, really large book. It takes a concerted effort over a long period of time just to read through it one time. I mean, it says a lot of stuff. And there's a whole lot more of it in there that I don't understand than that I do. I mean, I understand just a little bit of what all's in there. It's just a tiny bit. It is a big book. And the problem is sometimes I feel like I'm just not doing so much of what I should do because there's so much of this book that I don't understand. And then there's places in the Bible where it talks about just the simplicity of our relationship with God. So how do you reconcile those two things? How do you deal with this big old giant book and things being simple? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I think that the simplicity of it is that this whole thing is about a relationship between each one of us and God. And that's it. That's the whole thing summed up. There's nothing more to it than that. And all that this big old gigantic book does is give us all kinds of illustrations and examples and stories and teaching about what that relationship is like. And when you really boil it down, each time we read, wherever we read, we're just learning something about our Lord. Something that makes us know Him better. Something that helps us understand Him just a little bit better than before. Something that should just a little bit more improve our relationship with Him. And when you think of it in those terms, it's not such a thing where you feel like you got to understand the whole thing and read this whole book and know all that's in here. All you've got to really know and all we've got to do is try to get to know our Lord. It's just like a relationship with any other person. We never know everything about them. We never will know everything about them. But we know what we know based on our experience with them. And that's the way our relationship with the Lord is. So, what we're going to look at tonight, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at one verse there, and then we're going to skip through several different simple things, and these are all very familiar things that all, when you look at them at face value, sound like they're teaching us different things, but they're not. They're all teaching us the same way, same thing, from different perspectives. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 3. This is a verse that you should find very familiar. It's one that Joe has spent a lot of time on and has talked about often. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, he's given a really interesting illustration here about simplicity. And his illustration is Eve in the garden. Her relationship with God was very simple, right? He put Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, "Every day I'm going to come visit you, and we're going to walk and talk in the afternoon. And there's one thing that you can't do." And what was that?
Eat fruit.
You can't eat the fruit off of this one tree. That's it. This is our relationship. Don't eat on this tree, and you can do anything else you want to. It's that simple. And if they don't eat of that tree, their relationship with the Father would be good. But if they eat of that tree, at that moment, their relationship with the Father is broken. And that's all that there was to it. It was an extremely simple relationship. And somehow, Satan was able to come in and deceive Eve and get her to think that there was more to it than that. That she could play a bigger role in it if she wanted to. And as a result, she sinned against the Father, and Adam sinned with her, and everybody from that point on has been in sin. It was a really simple relationship. It was really easy to understand. Yet Satan was able to deceive her and trick her and get her to break that relationship with the Father. He is doing the exact same thing to us today. Our relationship with God is very simple. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is being in Him. It says here, the simplicity that is in Christ. That idea of being in Christ is something you see a lot in the New Testament. When we get saved, the Bible says we are in Him. It's just like being in this building. When we're in this building, we're completely surrounded by this building. We're in the midst of it, and everything around us is this building. When we get saved, we're in Christ. We are part of Him. We are inside of Him. He completely surrounds us. And our job from that point forward is just to maintain that relationship with Him. And it's just that simple. But Satan desires to make it so much more complicated. His desire is to make us feel like Eve, in that we could have a bigger part in this thing if we just would. And that was Paul's fear, is that the Corinthians, just like Eve, would be deceived by Satan, and that their minds would get corrupted, that their minds would get tainted, that they would get messed up in some way, so that they would think differently than the simplicity of just having a relationship with Jesus, of just being in Him and resting in that. There's a place in Acts when Paul was talking to the people in Athens, and he was talking to them about trying to prove to them that there was a God. And he told them, he said that in this God, this unknown God that you guys worship ignorantly, it's in this God that we live and breathe and have our being or our existence. And that's true for every person in the world. But it's even more true for us as believers. It is in Jesus that we live and we breathe and we have our very existence. So this whole Bible is really just a lot of different things that teach us about what being in Him is like, what that relationship with Him is like. Now, this word here, simple, says that our minds would be corrupted or messed up from the simplicity that is in Christ. This word simplicity means one thing. It means having a singleness of mind and sincerity about this one thing. It's the virtue of being free from pretense or hypocrisy or putting on a show for other people to see, pretending and posing. It is just a simple, single-minded devotion to something. And that's what he's saying here. He says, I'm afraid that you guys would get deceived by Satan from thinking that all your relationship with God is about is this simple, single-minded focus on Jesus. And that you'll think it's about other things. And that you'll get caught up in all these other things other than Jesus. In the New Living Translation, it translates that verse this way. It says, I fear that, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent, somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. That's what our relationship with the Father is all about now. It's about a pure and undivided devotion to Christ. That's the simplicity of it. We just focus on Him. We just follow Him. We just obey Him. We just love Him. We just seek Him. We just watch with Him and pray. We just walk with Him. All those illustrations that we see in the Bible of those things is all about our relationship to Him. So let's look at that. We're going to look at a few verses. We'll start in Genesis chapter 2. We'll start with the illustration that Paul gave in 2 Corinthians. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." All that they had to do to maintain their relationship with the Father was obey one very simple command. So a very important part of our relationship with God is obedience. If we're going to have a right relationship with Him, then we need to obey Him. Now, going back to this book being really, really large, it's hard for me to know everything that's in here and obey everything that's here. So what my job is not to obey everything that's here, but to obey everything that the Lord has taught me so far. And His goal is to get me to where I'm obeying everything here. And in that process, I do it by seeking Him and what He wants and doing my best to obey Him. Just like they, to maintain their relationship with the Father, was to obey this one simple command. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Does anybody remember the story of Jesus and the guy that was trying to trick him and ask him a question and said, "Jesus, what is the greatest law in the Bible?" Anybody remember what Jesus' response was?
"Love the Lord with all your heart and your soul, your mind, and
yep.
love your neighbor as yourself."
Yeah. He said the greatest one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And the second greatest is love your neighbor as yourself. He summed it up right there. That's what this relationship is all about. And this is where he got this from. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's it. That's what this relationship is all about. And then he goes on for a very large book, chapter after chapter after chapter, giving all these little minute details of all these things that God expects of us. But all those things are just details. The real command is right here, that we love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. It's just that simple. So if we're going to have a right relationship with Him, we need to obey Him. Whatever He leads us to do, we need to obey. And we need to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Next, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Each of these things that we're looking at is just a summary of what it's all about, having a right relationship with Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Now, this verse, or these two verses here, are another explanation of what this relationship is like. We're to obey Him, we're to love Him, and we're to trust Him. We're to trust Him with all of our heart, just like we're to love Him with all of our heart. And look, see what it says there? It says, after it says trust Him with all of our heart, it says do what? Don't lean on your own understanding. That's the thing that Paul was warning the Corinthians about. He says, I'm afraid that you're going to get deceived by Satan. The way that we get deceived by Satan is by leaning on our own understanding. We've got to trust the Lord with all of our heart and not depend on our own way of doing things. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In everything that we do, if we acknowledge Him in it, each moment of our day, thinking of things that we're doing in terms of Him and what He wants us to do, and talking to Him about it, and acknowledge Him in that thing, then it says here that He will direct your path. He will direct the steps that we take as we go through our days. He'll lead us and guide us and direct us, but it comes from trusting completely in Him and not trusting at all in ourselves. Next, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. Jesus is talking to them. He's teaching about not worrying about the things of this world, not worrying about the things that we need, whether they be clothes or a house or money or food or anything else. But instead of worrying about those things, we should trust that the Father knows what all we need. And instead of worrying about them, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, we have that idea of singleness of mind, that word simplicity, being focused on one thing. And the one thing that we're to be continually focused on is God and our relationship to Him. Here it says, seek first. Seek ahead of everything else, God and His kingdom. And as a result of that, everything else that we need will be taken care of. So we focus on that one thing, we take care of that one thing, and He'll take care of everything else. Each one of these things that we're looking at is just shows how it's just a simple, single-minded focus on Him. We focus on obeying Him, on loving Him with all of our heart, on trusting Him with all of our heart, seeking Him ahead of everything else. Luke 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It's another verse that we're very familiar with. Now, it's interesting, as we've gone along through the years, I've noticed that there's been like different verses that as a group we kind of focus on and hear about a lot. For a while, it was this verse here about following Him. And then lately, we've been talking about watching and praying. And I'm like, okay, I got to keep up with all these things. One time we talked a lot about obedience. You know, it's like, okay, I got to keep up with obedience. I got to keep up with following. I got to keep up with denying myself. I got to keep up with watching and praying. But you really don't have to keep up with all those things, because every one of those things is just a different slant on the same thing, which is that it's all about our relationship with Him. So in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Every day, this life is about denying ourselves. That's the same thing it talked about in Proverbs, you know. Don't trust in your own understanding, but trust in the Lord's understanding. Deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily, every day. Die to ourselves and follow Him. That's what it's all about. It's not know everything in this book, study it day and night, and once you know it all, do everything in this book. It is follow me. And if we are following him, then we will be doing the things that are in this book. And he will use this book to help us understand day by day just a little bit more and a little bit more about what he's doing and what he's like, and make it just a little bit easier for us to follow him, to see where he's going, and to do the things that he's leading us to do. So again, every one of these things is just a simple idea that is fundamentally a single-minded focus on him. Obey him, love him, trust him, seek him, follow him. Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. This is the thing that we've been talking so much about lately. Jesus is approaching this really difficult time in his life. And the disciples are with him. And they're going to be going into this thing with him. And he takes them, after they've eaten dinner that night, over to the garden. And he takes three of them aside and he says, "Watch with me and pray." And he goes off and he watches and prays. And if they would watch and pray with him, they would understand what he's doing and where he's going and what the Father has him doing, and be able to do their part in it. They'd be able to follow him appropriately. This is just another way of saying that same thing. We are to be single-mindedly focused on watching what he's doing, seeing it, and talking to him about it. For me, this word pray, so much of my life, prayer has been about, you know, asking for things, and that's an important part of prayer. But I think in this way here, this watching and praying is just watch what's going on and have a conversation with the Lord about it. Just talking to him about it, what it is, and what he's wanting to do, what he's trying to accomplish, and what he wants me to do. And just continually having that watchful attitude. The last verse we'll look at, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. "As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." As we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, as we have trusted on him as our Savior, and we have received him as Savior from our sins, in the same way that we've done that, we are to walk in him. This idea of walking is something that you see throughout the whole Scriptures. And it's interesting how many of these things are just a continuous step-by-step thing that you do. You know, when you walk one step at a time. A while ago, I quoted that verse that Paul said to the people in Athens, that in him we live and breathe. This idea of you take one breath at a time, and you got to take another breath, and then another breath, and then another breath. That's what this life is like. It's just a continuous dependence upon him. Whether we're obeying him or loving him or trusting him in everything that we do, whether we're seeking him or following him or watching him or walking with him. All these are just different ways of saying the same thing. It is all about our relationship to him. So it's easy to get caught up in so many things. You know, it's easy, and I think that's part of Satan's deception, is that he doesn't deceive us with something that's obviously wrong. He deceives us best with things that look right, that appear to be obviously a good thing. And he will use those things to distract us from what is important. It's very easy, if we're not careful, that we come to think that studying this book is what makes us right with God. That studying this book is what makes us acceptable to him. Or we can come to the conclusion that following this list of rules, if we do all these things and we don't do any of these things, then we're going to be okay with God. But you know, the reality of it is, and we see it illustrated in the Pharisees, right? And the religious leaders of Israel. They knew the Old Testament way better than we do. They followed lists of rules much more consistently than probably anybody ever has, and stayed away from all these things really consistently as well. But yet at the same thing, they neglected the thing that made all of that matter. And that was a right relationship with the Father. They were doing things to please other people and to please themselves rather than things to please the Lord. And throughout the scriptures, he has given us these illustrations that we can look to understand what that is like. He's given us things like, you know, love me with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. That's what I want from you. And then all these other things are just details. But this is the real thing. This is the great command. And he says things like, trust me. And not just a little bit, but trust me in everything. Trust me with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own thinking and your own understanding. Just trust me. And if you will, then I will direct your every step down the path right where I want it to be. Seek after me. Search for me. The Lord says, if you will seek me, I will be found. That's a promise that he has made. He said, Jesus says, follow me. That's each time he would call out a disciple, it was interesting. I was searching through just where all it says follow. And every time he would call somebody to himself, he'd say that. He'd say, follow me. He didn't say, here's what I want you to do. Here's your job description. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this. He said simply, follow me. And they would. They would leave everything and simply follow him. And along the way, they learned how to do this and that and the other thing. And he says, just walk with me. Just walk with me each day. That's what he did with the disciples. They walked a lot. When you read through the New Testament, you see that they walked all over the place. They walked hundreds of miles together. And that walking is just a picture of what it's like to have a relationship with him. Just going through our lives, walking right along with him, one step at a time, and him helping us to know what he wants us to do. All of these things are different ways of saying that what really matters is our relationship with him, and that it's intimate, and that it's personal, and that it's just about him. That it's not about me, and that it's not to impress others, but it's just so that we can know him. Paul said that in one place. He said that my desire is to know him and the power of his resurrection and even the fellowship of his sufferings. Because if we're going to walk right along with him, we're going to suffer the same kinds of things that he did. But we're also going to enjoy the same kinds of wonderful things that he did as he worked for the Father doing the things that he wanted to accomplish. So, we're really good at making things complicated. And God, I think, is really good at summarizing things. And each of these things that we have looked at tonight, I think, is just a different summary of what our relationship would be. And as we go through our days, if we're thinking about any one of these things, but more importantly, if we're just thinking about him and talking to him and relating the things that we do to him, then we're doing what he wants us to do. And he will be able to lead us, and guide us, and direct us, and help us to understand what he wants us to do and how to do it.